In John chapter 2, verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Verse 2. Beloved, we are sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. And every man that has his hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. May you help us to live our lives as what you have taught us. May our hearts be pure and our actions be pure as well. Lord, help us in whatever way we could to stand firm upon your word in this world that we are in. Dear Father, and one day when you come, we'll be ready to be packed. And you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. Guide us tonight as we share your truth. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, in my younger days as a Christian, this song always comes to my mind, you know. Goes like this. "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto me," unto us. "Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us." So this verse came to my mind. I mean, it came to my mind, and I said, okay, I'd like to share this couple of verses. Right? And it is so clear that the beginning of this verse, "Behold," is so factual. That that when I look up into the dictionary, to behold is something where it's a visual faculty that we can, essentially to perceive by the visual faculty, we can sort of see it. And also the dictionary also say to perceive through the use of mental faculty. So we have an eyes approach as well as a mind approach. Right? And it's so clear, so direct, so personal that it addresses us. That so much that even us, we have our privilege to see and feel something worthy of attention. Consider who we are. And who are we now? But with this recognition that we can feel ourselves to be. How John shared with us that how we are being called the sons of God. Quite often I find that Christians would not mention so much as this, because maybe there's no clearer explanation to them about what is the status that a son of God would have, right? So with this great and high relationship that we have as a son to his father, you know, for example, let's take, for example, Ezra and his dad. The liberty of Ezra to jump on his father, to even cause him to be sometimes disturbed in some way, you know, or even when he's busy, he had to be distracted. But the father will still love him. The father will still let him go through the disturbance, you know. So, like, we as Christians, we sometimes irritate our God to the extent of we can get punished, right? But then God loves us so much that he will not punish us. In fact, he will also go to the extent of giving us the privilege of repent from our sins. The privilege of a son has from the father, and also we also need to look at the obedience the son owes the father. Likewise, for us as the son of God, we need to observe that obedience as well. And these are through instructions, through learning, through our desire to please our father by practicing what we've been taught and doing things the right way. Right? However, the world does not see it. Here we have the second part of the verse 1. Right? The world knows us not because it knew him not. Very much so. Very much so. The world will not recognize God. I have sometimes shared with friends that that I've got activities in church and all that, and he will comment, why are you so busy with all those commitment in church? You know, I felt that it's very difficult for a person to understand, especially even if it's not a Christian. You know, he doesn't see the special position that I have as a Christian to serve God, to obey God, to serve God, and to be joyfully doing providing services, providing my services for God's work. So the comfort that I felt cannot be easily translated. And, well, I'm sure many of you will encounter people who don't see that inner joy that you have as a Christian. Then again, I find that the world does not see it because they knew not. And when I come to the second verse in this verse, John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, we are now are we the sons of God. I find that when I come to this verse, I rejoice more. This true word is easy to read, but it's not so easy to feel. Now are we. It's sort of a, this assurance is somewhat a bit negative as being posed. Normally we'll say, we are the Son of God. But in this case, it's us, it's mentioned in such a way, are we. This form of, this formation of a sentence will trigger us if we are at a point of a lower depth, a suffering situation or sorrowful situation where we may find that it will trigger us to have this assurance. Indeed, questioning yourself, are we sons of God? Thus, when we reassure ourselves as sons of God, and the understanding that God, that He shall appear and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This is saying that when Jesus appears, we shall be like Him. The need for our reassurance that we are sons of God is very, very vital. Yeah. Right. So when I ask myself, do I really care about what people feel or think, what I'm doing providing services as a Christian? Yes, I would say I do care. With patience and understanding of whoever may have mistaken me. I'll share my testimony and wonder and say how wonderful God is, and God has forgiven me all my sins by sending Christ and died on the cross. I believe each one of us will face some kind of misunderstanding, even to the extent of persecution, right, in the workplace from time to time. But I'm sure we can counter that with love and forgiveness when the opportunity presents itself. Now, it's also crucial that we should never dwell in the pride of our status. God, showing off the wrong image of a Christian. The fact that we Christians are the sons of God, and knowing that the reason why the world doesn't appreciate our character or understand the reasons of our conduct, we know within us as Christians the need for this continual sustenance of our well-being as a son of God, the relation that we have with God, right? And knowing and hoping when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, or we shall see Him. Let's come to verse 3. Right? That every man that has his hope in Him purified himself even as he is pure. This is addressed to Christians having the hope of Jesus' appearance, right? Knowing that He was manifested to take away our sins, and He had accomplished what what God has wanted Him to do, and to sustain the penalties of our sins on the cross. So here is a reminder to purify ourselves. It is a constant need to check ourselves to sin less. We are not perfect creatures. We are not. We are still very much a sinful creature. Right? But as a son of God, the status we have and the privileges we have in our relationship with God, we can overcome sin as much as we can in our obedience towards God, and indeed we can sin a lot less. I believe sin is something where we live with every day, and we need to check where we may have sinned. Especially at the end of the day, we go through we reflect upon our day's progress in any area where we have somehow stepped across the line, and we need to seek God for forgiveness, and we ask Jesus to cleanse us of our sin. Then again, by checking and going through the process reflecting upon what we have done throughout the day, we can get to be a less sinful person the next day and live it right with following up of our daily devotion and also our prayer for at the end of the day as well as at the beginning of the day. So, the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us is so vast, so deep, such depth that sometimes we take for granted. So, being sons of God, we are truly in need to reflect on our position, on our conduct, especially when this world is so filled with distraction, with temptations and so much anger and wickedness. The world will never know or understand how we would want to, how we would stand firm. But indeed, we have to stand firm. And trusting God will help us through. And then I enter with this need for myself to continually encourage everyone that I know, even my colleagues, who some of them are Christians, to re-examine themselves and read the Bible and to pray. And so, we answer with a prayer. That's all I have to pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And daily, Father, we receive great amounts of your divine grace upon us. Then, through our daily lives, we learn how to be a better Christian, to be a follower of your truth, to live our lives in obedience, to continue to touch lives with our desire to walk faithfully in Christ. Know it's difficult for us to sin less, but we'll try our best. Remember that as much as we are forgiven, we're not just for granted and marching into what the world does and follow them. Help us, Father, to understand and stand firm and not get involved with politics that does not edify you. Father, we thank you for this evening, for our brothers and sisters who come together in one heart, one mind to continue to pray for our loved ones, for our brothers who may not be here, who may have a burden at home, at work, or somewhere along their life that they have a need to be prayed for. Help us to remember them in prayer. Help us to help them even in meeting their needs, in reaching out, helping them. Pray that you will guide us through, Father, in the men's decision together and work together to build this church. The expansion that we're looking forward to, the planning of the various ministry, the smooth running of the various programs that we have. We ask, Lord, that and you will be watchful over all our needs. Opening doors for us to go through, to encourage us with your loving hands, giving us the strength and the ability to carry out what we have brought up to you in our prayers. Father, we thank you for this time and for sharing your words. And just let me pray. Amen.